This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, Pete Carroll will join us here in 15 minutes from Seahawks training camp. Once again, it's Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle. This hour is brought to you by Tackle, T-A-K-L. I promised Brock that we had some tickets. Let's give those away right now for Thursday night's game. First preseason game of the year, Seahawks and Colts at CenturyLink Field, 7 o'clock on Thursday night. Pregame show will get going at 5 o'clock here on the
station.
Little
Russell Wilson, little Andrew Luck. I think you're going to see a bunch of the starters for both of those teams kind of get their feet wet and get it going.
Yeah. Yeah, so those guys were drafted in 2012. Why don't we go with the 12th caller? Because Russell and Andrew Luck both drafted in 2012. 12th caller at 206-421-3776 will win a pair of tickets to go to the first preseason game on Thursday night. Should be a blast. Going to be a beautiful night here in Seattle and a great chance to go out and watch this team for the first time. You know, Brock, Tom and I spent some time yesterday just talking about this team and how different it is going to feel. And I'm not talking about the team on the field. I'm talking about the fan experience of watching this team this year. And, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm being a homer. Maybe I'm getting myself excited for a season in a different way. I don't know. But the fact that I don't have as high an expectation for this team, and that's not to say I don't think they can do well. I think they could be really good. Legitimately, this team would not surprise me if they went 10-6. It would not really surprise me that much if they went 6-10. I have no idea what they're going to do. I think winning or losing 12 games would be really surprising. But anything in the middle would not really shock me all that much. And I'm very much looking forward to a different vibe as a fan of being surprised, of being pleasantly surprised, of learning about new players and who they are and what they do, as opposed to what we have felt the last few years, which is a desperation, desperately trying to keep up with where you were and falling short.
Yeah, trying to pay off that horrific 2014 Super Bowl loss of saying, come on now. You know,
how are you going to avenge
this? Can you get back there? Can you finish it? For all of the bitterness and all of the anger that Richard still held on to from that and all of the, you know, what ifs, you're just 1 yard away and you could have been back-to-back Super Bowl champs and paid off all of this talent and all these Pro Bowlers and possible future Hall of Famers. Like, all that stuff was just sitting there. And so much of that, you're right, has been emptied out. I think you and Tom, I think I was driving to grab a mousetrap at that point. Listen, you guys, you talked about maybe more grace. That maybe you're just going to have more grace for this club than you've had in years past.
And as I was thinking about it later, maybe that's not the right term. Maybe it is. But I think it is more just about the idea of being surprised versus disappointed. The last few years have been disappointing. The Seahawks have failed to reach the levels we expected them to. Like, it's just that simple. We thought, because I've said it over and over again. I don't think I'm the only one. I expected them to win every game. I knew they weren't going to, but heading into every game, I'd look at it and say, I think the Seahawks are going to win.
Yep.
I might not do that this year.
You probably won't.
I will. There will be some games against some of the other really good competition that they'll face where I'll say, yeah, they're probably outgunned, outmatched, and outmanned this week. But could they win? Yeah, they can.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, it'll be awesome. Yeah. It's going to take Russell Wilson doing some spectacular things late in the fourth quarter. It's going to take a few of these young guys stepping up and being better than they are right now or than we believe that they are. It's going to take a guy we talked to yesterday, Tedrick Thompson, or someone like him, seizing one of the jobs in this defensive secondary and not giving it back because you keep making big-time plays. It's going to take an offensive line finally coalescing and guys like Jermaine Ifedi, who I saw the quotes from him yesterday, saying, I want to be coached harder than I ever have before. Mm. I want Mike Solari to be harder on me than he's ever been on any other player because I need to get better. Yeah, well, it's going to take that happening. And then Jermaine actually turning himself into the first-round pick that he is.
Can I tell you, though, can I explore this a little bit deeper and tell you that ultimately that's wonderful to stay here on August,
I know,
on whatever, August 7th? And I'll give you the Mariners team as case in point. How fun was it in April, May, and June when this team surprised, like came out of nowhere, right? You talked about that a ton. Like, this is so cool to have a team. There's nothing quite like it when you have a team that no one thinks can be any good, some of that underdog role, and then all of a sudden they achieve and they're 24 games above 500. And then some reality sets in, and you see some of their lack of depth and some of their challenges. And, oh, my gosh, now this isn't as much fun. Why isn't this any fun? Why is Heather Wright like this? Why am I not having as much fun watching the scene? Because expectations got built up.
That's right. And if it had happened at the beginning of the year, it wouldn't have been so
disappointing. Well, and if this team goes to Denver and beats Case Keenum and it's 20-17, and then they go to Chicago on a Monday night, and you have a franchise quarterback and an established system, and they don't, and you, again, win something in the fourth quarter, more than likely, 27-23, and then you come home and you get to play Dallas at home. And you know what? Dallas is still challenged defensively. The 12s are going to be rocking. Yep. They're going to be 3-0, and then they're going to go to Arizona, and they're going to be 4-0. And guess what?
And like, we're going to Michigan.
Yeah, no, guess
and
what?
We're going to Missouri.
This little team that wasn't supposed to be very good, and this little team that didn't have all these expectations, and this team is all of a sudden 4-0.
I'm not saying that I couldn't turn it around. I mean, obviously, you're right. If they start off the year 7-1, then the expectation level will change. Thank you. We appreciate that. Yes. Like, the expectation levels could change for them. But heading into the year, it's not that high. You're really open to almost anything happening, and I'm going to be focused more on the development of the young players and kind of what they have as opposed to the specifics of every. That's not to mean we're not going to do takeaways. And, of course, I'll still be bummed out when they lose and happy when they win. But you're in a little bit different mindset because the desperation has gone away. It's still urgent,
sure.
But the last few years have felt desperate.
Yes.
Desperately trying to cling and win while in this window, and now that window has closed for a huge part of the core here. The next chapter is about building the next nucleus around Russell Wilson.
I guess it's almost as if you felt like the last few years you had everything to lose and very little to gain. Unless it was going to be a Super Bowl and to pay that thing off, right, and to get that taste out and to finish it for Cam and for Earl and for Richard and for Russ and for all of that and pay off all of the conversation that, you know, they were in the national headlines week after week, season after season. So it almost felt like, man, if you don't get that done, you really, it was a severe disappointment. Whereas this year, at least going in, has so much to gain. There are so many of these young players that haven't proven really either way of whether they can be dominant in this league and flourish or if they're just going to be cast off and
but
not
I think
make
the,
it.
But in the NFL, I think more than any other league, though, that group you just said, the group that hasn't proven it either way, more often, I think, than in other sports, they prove that they are ready. And also, more often, nobody expects it.
The L.A. Rams, Jared Goff, Todd Gurley go through their players last year that helped them really emerge and take that step. The Philadelphia Eagles and Nelson Aguilar and Carson Wentz and those guys that really emerged, they hadn't proven it in their first couple years.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, take that significant to pay off that point. I think you're right. You know, those teams that popped, the Seattle Seahawks of 2012, that Russell Wilson and Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, those guys took that step forward. And more often than not, year in and year out, the New Orleans Saints and Alvin Kamara and Ryan Ramczyk and their players that they drafted were really good, and they took a step. And, yeah, I think there is opportunity in the NFL, especially with the right fit in the right system and being available at the right time to shine. You have seen players flourish and therefore programs.
It's also the league where you say, who the heck are these guys more than any other, where the players that you don't know turn out to be, I mean, the Cam Chancellors and Richard Shermans in the early parts of their career, third, fifth, sixth round picks that all of a sudden turn themselves into great players.
You don't see that in baseball and basketball.
Not generally. I mean, generally by the time a player gets to the major leagues in baseball, you have a general idea of who they're going to be. And that's not to say there aren't surprises. We all know that there are. Even late in their career, you'll get a Wade LeBlanc now and again. But for the most part, it's the great prospects who show up and are great in the NFL and in Major League Baseball, right?
Yep. In NBA, you got to have two superstars at least.
Right? I mean, and if you haven't been a superstar, you're probably not going to be a superstar. But in football, Cam Chancellor can come out of nowhere and be great. In football, Tedrick Thompson can go a year, not really make much impact, then get his chance in year number two and go on to be a Pro Bowler. I mean, I'm not saying he's gonna, but he certainly can. So in that regard, I am really excited. The one thing I'm worried about is the pass rush. I don't know whether it's going to be good enough. And if it is, they're probably going to be pretty good. And if it's not, then a whole lot of other people are going to have to play out of their mind throughout the course of this season. We'll get to talk to Pete Carroll about all of those things. Pete is going to join us coming up here in just a moment. Pete Carroll from training camp next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Another busy day out at Seahawks training camp today. Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle. Hope you guys are having a good morning. We are brought to you this hour by Tackle, and Pete Carroll should join us here in just a couple of minutes. Excited for another season of the Pete Carroll Show, generally Mondays or whatever day comes after a game. We'll do that at 9:30, as we always do. And it's been fun, I think, having... It's crazy. As long as we've been doing this show...
Yeah.
We've had Pete for every year but one. I mean, we had the first year with
I'll answer the question. I'll answer it.
And it's funny. I think we had Jim every week, didn't we?
I honestly don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was built into the deal that we had. Jim. But I don't remember a lot of those conversations. I mean, that's not a surprise.
I do. I remember them all vividly.
Really? Yes. I remember like once talking to him. And other than that, like maybe I've blocked a lot of that out. But we've had Pete for so long. It's been really interesting to kind of get to know him and how he's going to answer questions and how he's going to handle these things.
Well, you know, you're not going to bring up like the grace and more grace and expectations and nothing to lose, because none of that even enters his mind ever.
True.
He is so thrilled and excited for this group. I do think that there's a renewed just energy that he's getting to kind of teach and you know, just as Chris Peterson loves teaching leadership to his players. I think Pete with the Bobby Wagners and the opportunity for some of these young guys to grasp more of that, I think that's energizing for him. Out here on the field, you could see him bouncing around, just actually coaching technique, coaching fundamentals, some of the stuff that he necessarily didn't have to do over the last few years. You could repeat it. You could remind guys, but they knew Cliff and Michael and Earl. They all knew this system inside and out. So, yeah, I think there's a renewed just coaching energy for him, and then that to coach coaches, to have a new coordinator in Schottenheimer and Ken Norton, who he knows well, but in a new position, I think infused to coach those guys as well. I think you're going to hear Pete in 5 minutes or less be as energized as we have had him in these 9 years.
You've mentioned before how from afar there's a lot of pressure on Pete. We even heard Colin Cowherd when he was on with us really drop the hammer, I felt, a little on Pete. But in some ways, I wonder whether there's a freeing element to this all where there's actually not as much pressure on him, that the expectation isn't as high for this year, and that he's got enough of a background and enough success as a head coach that, you know, 1 year is not going to, you know, do him in for his job. I wonder if there's a freeing element to that.
I don't know. I think it's a lot to the very end of our last conversation, that this sport allows for those guys to emerge, whether it was the right scouting job to get the right guy in the system, whether it's the right coaching and encouraging to really bring it out, whether it's the right development behind the scenes with the holistic total program they have, that I think that there is some of that pressure that a Jermaine Ifedi, that a Nick Vanette, that these guys, that a Delano Hill, that these guys that have been here now, Mike, not for 2 months, that have been here for 2+ years.
Yeah, they got to work.
They got to work, and they got to emerge. And I think that there is some positive, like good pressure. Like, that's awesome. That's what I want. I want young people to coach. That is what is always infused him and empowered him, right, in his programs at USC or here when he built this thing. That's what he trusts. You know, like D. Gordon trusts his bat contact and his speed, and he's going to hit singles, and that's who he is going to be. Well, I think Pete, as much as anything, trusts, you know, young people and bringing the most out in them, and he's going to get the best out of Ifedi and Vanette and Posick and these young guys.
Well, that's when he has done his best jobs as a coach. I mean, it is finding ways to win with some pieces that maybe everyone didn't realize were as good as they were. And it's funny, I mean, you know, everyone will talk about 2012 when everything came together, but in some ways, what he did in 2010 might have been his best coaching job, right? I mean, he took a group that was not good, had Matt Hasselbeck, who was not only not the same guy as he'd been, but also was hurt and in and out of the lineup with Charlie Whitehurst coming in for him. They traded for Marshawn Lynch. They made a million roster moves, and they somehow made the playoffs that year.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty special. And then won a playoff game and came yes. very... I mean, they are a Jordan Babineau dropped pick away from likely
making
winning.
Making that one very interesting,
You beat the Bears, and God knows what happens after that. I mean, it's bizarre, and it doesn't make any sense. I don't know who they would have played
the
next
week. You'd have been a 9-19 playing in the NFC Championship.
It would have been happening. I forget who they would have played the following week, but
if
they had beaten the Bears,
Textoy will let us
know. They would have been in a really interesting spot at that point. So,
yeah.
You know, I do think that that's one of those things I try to remember. Now, the division was a little bit different back then. You didn't have everything happening with the Rams and the kind of talent that they've acquired. But I'll tell you this, man. The conversation we were having about Aaron Donald today has to be very disturbing if you're a Rams fan. I mean, he is holding out, and he wants $20 to $23 million, somewhere in that range. The Rams are going to be forced to either pay him and deal with the consequences of what they have to give up for paying a non-traditional, you know, non-quarterback that kind of money, or they're going to have to play without Aaron Donald.
Yeah, and you've got a team that's paid Todd Gurley there. You got a team that paid Brandon Cooks. We saw that here with Percy Harvin. You gave, you know, a guy from the outside a ton of dough. You got other guys that are there on one-year mercenaries. Ndamukong Suh is a one-year mercenary to win a ring, right? Marcus Peters is a one-year mercenary that's been traded for. Aqib Talib is a one-year mercenary. Like, this is their time to win. And with all of the ego and as outspoken as Aaron, you have already heard Ndamukong Suh say, yeah, he deserves more than I got. He should get more than the $19 million that I got in Miami. He's a better player, been much more dominant. You already heard some of that chirping. So you pay people from the outside. You pay your running back. Now, are you going to pay arguably the best non-quarterback player in this league?
Strange the way they've played it. But, I mean, it seems right now as if that is going to be the type of thing that is going to eventually. And now, look, it may not hurt them this year if they decide to re-sign him. But this is going to tear them apart at some point. You just can't generally afford to pay those kinds of players that much money. So,
well, we're going to do our part to make sure it tears them apart, right? We're going to do all we can to make sure there's huge disruption in L.A., that there's nothing but friction and chaos and ego in that locker room.
We need a Richard Sherman to start texting down to Aaron Donald saying, 23? Man, you need 26.
How do you know he's not?
How about 28?
You
need 28? Dude, you are Aaron Donald.
That's right.
Don't you let
you
them get
set
away
the
with this.
You got to for the rest of us.
Absolutely.
You know I'm going to be the union
boss. And you
got to
make it all 100% guaranteed. You can't let them cut you.
That's right.
Oh, man. Richard, get in his ear. Stop squawking with Earl and go down and talk to him instead. I'm sure Aaron Donald will listen to you. At the very least, people listening to you has never stopped you. So go ahead and talk and see what happens, right? Let's see if we could get that done.
Yeah, well, it is a bit of a catch-22 that they find themselves in, because then you do pay him, and is there going to be enough in the kitty for everybody else, for all the linemen and the line of scrimmage that was the biggest reason for your turnaround last year, that gave Jared Goff the opportunity to actually set his feet and run a system and to find some success? And, yeah, this is the beauty of the NFL. The beauty and the curse, man, is it doesn't last forever. There is a limited supply. When guys start to squabble and start to talk like this, and then you got big egos that they put into that locker room, and guys willing to talk a little bit, let's see. You know, we've dealt with that over the last few years, right? We saw guys get paid. We saw some of the challenge with that. We've seen guys that wanted other guys to get paid. We've walked through all of the challenges of some of that individual empowerment here, for better or for worse. And unfortunately, at times for worse, and why there's a clean house, and why Coach Carroll, look at him, coming out tan, rested, ready to rock and roll.
He's obviously been getting some work done on that stand-up paddleboard he's got going on there in Maui.
He looks good.
Usually when Coach is coming over, we have like the minute of excitement while we play the... Oh, Pete's just walking away. That's great. See ya. Bye, Pete. See you later.
How you doing, Coach?
There you go. Coach Carroll sitting down with
Pete,
us right
nice
now
to
here
see
on 710 ESPN Seattle from training camp. Hi, Coach. Good morning.
What's up? What's up? What you got?
Yeah, we haven't got to see you for
Brock
a couple
and
weeks.
Who?
Yeah.
Brock and Falk.
Oh, jeez. This is terrible. Yeah. Luke Falk. Young quarterback.
Yeah, there you
said,
go.
From what I'm told.
Oh, he's doing good?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. He's good in college.
Yeah, it's good.
Let's How you
about,
doing?
Let's talk about Luke. Hey, I'm doing good. What's up, man?
Hey, you're just bouncing all over this field out here, getting the coach, players, coaches.
Man. This is as much fun as you can have.
Are you getting younger? I mean, I'd watch you out there dancing and throwing the ball around.
I'm moving pretty well right
now. Yeah? Does your body feel good?
Yeah. It's all in my diet, you know. Yeah.
Is it plant-based?
Oh, yeah.
Entirely plant-based. I like it. What is it that's energizing you right now?
I just turned off half of our fans. Oh, no, not one of those.
What's energizing you?
The spirit of these guys, really, and our coaches too. You know, the new coaches are part of the growth and the experience of how we do things, and they're having a blast. And their ability to relate to our guys is obvious, and the players are feeding off of that. Players are feeding off opportunity. They've been of that mentality throughout, and we have competition everywhere. You know, so it's just really fun. We're battling.
Have there been some pleasant surprises, either from the coaching or the playing perspective? You're like, yeah, over a couple weeks now of camp, as this has come together.
Yeah,
pleasant surprise here.
Matter of fact, there is. I'm really excited about what we're doing on offense and the diversity that we've brought, you know, with the new guys and those adjustments. But I probably wouldn't feel like that if I hadn't seen the players respond. You know, they're really responding to it. And there's things that we're doing in the running game that is exciting. The running backs in general are exciting to watch every day. In the throwing game, we have things that are allowing us to take advantage of some of the talents, special talents that our guys have, which, you know, I always love that stuff. And so And then all of that connection, it's working, you know, and it looks good. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen first week or first couple weeks as you look at it, but we're on a really good track right now, and a track that I think will that most people would not think we could be on at this time.
I think a lot of people are pretty excited about the group of running backs and the first-round pick and what we saw from Chris Carson. How will you be judging and differentiating between those guys?
I'm just going to sit back and just feel it, you know, just watch them. We've watched them a lot already. You guys were at the mock game. Did you see that? And it was a great opportunity to see our guys bust out. There goes Chris on the first play. Rashad took off on a couple big plays and just continues to do things. It's really they're so good at what they're doing that it jumps out at you when you're on the practice field. And you know, to see Rashad running down the sidelines on about a 60-yard run at 236. You know, 236 he weighs, and he's ripping down the sidelines and outrunning everybody. You know, pretty special guy.
You've had some running backs. You know, you had obviously Reggie and Lindale at USC and that unbelievable dynastic run, and Marshawn here and building that thing and winning a Super Bowl. Is a group, though, have you had here with the Seahawks, have you had a group this diverse and this talented overall?
Not where you get five guys that every one of them can do stuff, and they have, you know, special stuff, and they're really good in the passing game too. Every one of the guys is good in the passing game. We've worked really hard at our pass pro, so that's not an issue. You know, even with the young guys, where you might think so, they're going to be fine. They're going to do really well. Chad Morton's done a great job with these guys, making that a huge point of emphasis, so that isn't a detractor from their play. So versatility shows up, but then there's just depth and style and speed and size and, you know, a little bit of everything. So it's a really fun group. I don't ever remember having a group that has this much depth to it.
You talked to us a little bit about the singular voice for Russell and having Schottenheimer, kind of the excitement that would be the guy really coaching him. And obviously he's not the QB coach per se or per title, but he and Dave work together and there's that one voice. Have you seen that kind of represent itself here?
Absolutely. Yeah. And Russ is challenged every day. He's challenged with the details every day, and he loves it. You know, Russ, he just wants to be coached hard and driven and challenged and all that. He's loving it. And he's really shown, maybe something that would surprise guys is seen him in the past, that he would be so open to be adapted, you know, and so it's really exciting, and he's having a blast every day. You know, Shotty's getting after him and chasing him around, and I think it shows.
Why was that so important?
It's important for everybody. You know, you want to be great, you got to be pushed, and you got to be challenged, and you got to compete, and that's just what's there. Some people can generate it themselves. Russell is a very good competitor, and he will. But he needed to see things from a different vantage point. You know, it had been the same for a lot of years, and it just kind of reinvented him, I think.
And was really good. Was it important for the other guys to see him be coached hard also?
Oh, always. Yeah, I think it always is. Yeah, that's not anywhere near the focus of it, but the subtlety of it, yes.
How different is the offense? Does he need to take more reps in preseason in order to have more comfort with it?
Yeah, that would be nice. You know, we'll do what we can do, you know, to make sure that we govern it properly. But the reps and the challenge in practice, ones against ones that we do so much, is really giving us a really good look. And I think he's going to have plenty of time, because we've blended the things that we've done in the past to what we're doing now. That has worked out really well, and that there's an art to that. And I think Shadi and Mike Solari did a really nice job of understanding where our strengths were, what was needed to be maintained, and then also where we could tweak it and add. And so it's been fun, and I'm anxious to see how we look running the football strictly, because it'll affect everything.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I've enjoyed seeing is some continuity up front, especially from Britt and Posick and Brown, and you just see the comfort they have. And, you know, the right side, Jermaine's been in there an awful lot, and Fluker, and now Sweezy. Do you see that, the right side maybe being a little more competitive, playing itself out in the preseason?
Well, J.R. Sweezy has brought that to us, you know, and unfortunately he got nicked a little bit in his first day out, but he'll be back in a few days. But Fluker has been legit. I don't know how much you've zeroed in on him, but
he's a big man.
Yeah, you need
he's
to,
hard to
you,
miss
to understand what he's doing. You got to look at it and see how he's moving people, and also how he doesn't get knocked back. You know, you can't knock him off the spot, and so that is such an asset to us. His carryover with Mike at the Giants a year ago has been instrumental. He's ahead of the other guys in terms of scheme and communications and all of that, which has helped him. And he's been really consistent. But more than that, way to get around the guy. He is such a fireball. He's got so much intensity. He loves the game so much that he affects other people. He really does affect the people around him. And so it's good for Fetty. It's good for Justin. It's good for all of us. And he's a blast to play with.
On the other side of the ball, every player we've had in here has mentioned Tedrick Thompson. They called him T2 mostly, but every player has mentioned Tedrick Thompson. Why Tedrick?
He has just been the standout throughout camp. He's just made more plays, and he's been really aggressive in the throwing game and in the running game. He'll find what he can do and what he can't do. And I'm asking him now to go for it at all times. Go for every read, every look you get. Find out where are the boundaries here for what you can go for. He's really instinctive, and he's acting on that. You know, we're trying to free him up and not be inhibited and not be kind of cautious and careful. That's what they're seeing. He has had more plays than all the rest of the guys combined, probably. You know, when you run in and pass stuff, that jump out and jump on the highlight film that we show every day, you know, and stuff like that. So I think players are really appreciating, you know, what he's contributing right now.
And this group should stop the run. Your front seven, as it's built and composed, and the additions.
We're going to play the running game really well. We're with depth and ability to rotate up front. We have enough to really fire at a far away line of scrimmage. Bobby and KJ set that in motion, but those guys up front are always crucial. Reed in the middle starts it. But when you're going to see Shamar Stevens can do some really cool stuff. Tom Johnson's going to do some good stuff. Quentin Jefferson's had a really good camp so far. Brandon Jackson has also had a really good work. And so there's some really exciting stuff happening. But we have rotation, we have strength and power and scheme. And Kenny's really dug into the scheme of it again and gone right back to the basics. And it all starts right there up front.
Now how about the juice off the edge?
Well, we haven't had Frank go full go yet, although we know what he brings. The guy that's really been important to us is Jacob Martin. He has really come flying, and that's a guy that, you know, he and Barkevious too, Mingo. The both those guys fly, and so those are the guys with Frank, and if we can get good production from Marcus Smith too, then we have a real nice rotation there as well. There's nothing but fast, and so it's looked good so far. It's in the developmental stages, though. It's going to take us some time to get everybody connected the way we need it.
My favorite competition on this team is the punting competition.
I am fascinated by
Michael Dixon.
It's a good one.
I mean, we had him in here the other day. Before we get to the punting, are you going to let him drop kick in one of these preseason games?
Oh, he has too much skill to not use him. Yeah, we're going to try him out. We won't do it.
You let him kick a field goal
that way? We won't do it too many times in the first game, but before we get through the preseason,
I got to see him drop kick a field goal. Like, that'll just be the coolest thing. I was there when Doug Flutie did it. It was amazing. Yeah. Like, I would love to see it. How unique of a weapon is he?
Oh, he's totally. Nobody's ever tried to do the things he's trying. We've never seen anybody ever. Now, maybe they've been out there, but I've never seen anybody try to do the things he's doing with the ball. And there's not just one or two things. He's got a whole array of things that he can do for us. And so we'll see. We're testing out the new rules in the kickoff, you know, coverage game and the return game there. We need to see what that's all about. In first look, from what I'm hearing from the league, and I checked in, matter of fact, today, what is their updates and what do they think? They don't see much difference, in what's going on. They don't have enough information yet, but we'll see as we go. But there's some new spacing issues, you know, with the guys all having to be so close to the line of scrimmage up there. So we'll be dipping our toe in the water somewhere.
Are you concerned with the helmet rule?
No. I'm not concerned with it at all. Matter of fact, I called in again on that one too today, so I can update you that coming out of the first game, they felt like it wasn't a big factor. There was two plays called. They thought there may be one third one that they could have called. The league is seeing already from their traveling through camps that there is an emphasis shift. There certainly is an emphasis shift. We have jumped on it since the word came out, you know, and for us, we don't think it's a big transition. We've been talking shoulder tackling, you know, and shoulder hitting for a long time around here, strike zone hits and all those things. I think we have an advantage in that to some extent. It's not new to us, but we still have to carry it to the game, and we're really working on keeping our eyes up too, and so that we get the helmet out of the ball game.
There's so many different faces out here, and a lot of the guys that have left, as we know, have had big personalities and contributed a lot to the quote unquote personality of this team. As a new personality develops here, what do you hope it looks like for this next group?
I hope we're fast and team-oriented and flying and excited about playing the game. You know, real simple stuff, which is absolutely what's showing, you know, in everything that we're doing. There's been a great energy about it. I think some of it is the opportunity. And it's not just the opportunity to be a starter. It's the opportunity to be a part of this program. These guys have come from kind of near and far to be part of it, and through the draft picks one, but also through free agency and the guys that have joined us. There's a real good mentality about it, and I'm having a blast. It's so much fun to go to practice every day, go through the walkthroughs. Last night's walkthrough in the middle of camp somewhere, these guys were bouncing around having fun, and the tempo was really quick and sharp. And so all of those things, they all contribute to the end product, and I don't see anything but positive stuff.
Do you think we'll see some of the same chippiness that the last group had?
I don't know that. I don't know about that. The chippiness, there was a chippiness about our guys early on in the competition, in practice, on the field, that was pretty unique. You know, it was pretty unique. But we harnessed it pretty well, you know. I think it's different. I think it's different. This is more about everybody. I think there's a sense about, you know, everybody's connected differently. You watch us at the end of practice and watch them blend how they you know, there's a feeling about it that's really special. And it's kind of, I don't know if it's a reaction. I don't know that. It almost feels like it's a kind of a reaction that we're in this thing together. Let's pull this together. And it's really a thrill.
Who's led that?
You can't get away from what Bobby and KJ, those guys are right in the middle of it all. You know, Doug, those are the guys. Russell's right in there.
I'm fascinated by Bobby, the leader. I mean, after all this time here, not that he hasn't been a leader, but it just seems like
he wants it.
He wants to be it. He's the first guy over to the podium over here to talk on the first day of practice. What is that process like for him, kind of developing into that
personality? Well, I think he has always been in front of everybody. He's always been the guy that's making the calls and leading the charge and all. So it's always been a natural position for him. He's always been a leader here, even in his first year. Now he can sense that it is his role, you know, to fill, and he's totally embraced it. It's not really anything different than what he's done in the past. It's just that he's more obvious now, and he's such a good voice. He's such a good example, and everything that he does, he's practicing great, and he looks great, and he's doing all kinds of cool things, as well as all of the things that he stands for. He's not going to give a bunch of speeches and stuff, you know. He doesn't have to. He just is the leader, you know. And so it's a great spot for him.
Is he going to have a rookie next to him Thursday night starting?
He could.
His two brothers,
could
possibly.
Be, could be. KJ's got a chance to play in the game. We'll see how that goes as we get through the next couple of days. But there's a chance. Yeah, that'd be exciting.
And that kid is fast.
Yeah, he's been doing some good stuff.
Both of them.
Good stuff.
Hey, yeah. How do you get protein? You get enough protein in a plant-based diet?
Oh,
you
yeah,
still
yeah.
good?
Matter of fact, they do.
Okay, good.
Quinoa.
Quinoa.
Quinoa, nice.
Yeah, you can't even pronounce it.
Quinoa. You get a little quinoa, you get the Air Monarchs, and you go out there and dance during practice. We're trying to figure out how many of the 32 NFL head coaches dance during practice.
I don't know.
I'm guessing it's
a
small number. I saw you dancing the other day.
No, I saw dancing. You're moving and grooving.
I saw a little wiggle. I saw some dancing.
There's a little bit. Yeah, that's why we like the music. That's part of the deal. I like it more than they do, obviously. You can.
I don't know. I saw, who is it, Jaron Reed and Brandon Jackson have like a whole routine going on.
It's okay. Just feeling it.
We have a shot that Doug and Dion have a shot to be there in Denver week one.
Of course, yeah. Okay. Doug for sure. Dion's going to be we won't know until we get him back out. We know exactly what's going on with Doug. He's going to be able to make it back, and barring setbacks of some kind.
Is he doing that Regenikind stuff that everybody, the circle that everybody was in last year?
I never comment about that. I never.
Nope. All right, good. Because that stuff creeped me out last year. I don't. What did you call it? The circle?
Well, you're kind of easily creeped.
That's for sure. So, there's no doubt. Does not take all that much.
That's right.
The circle of life that they were attending, I thought was a little bizarre.
What do we want to see Thursday night? What are you hoping to get out of just the first preseason game with this group?
Running and hitting, having fun for the first time to get to finally go. You know, you can tell from the scrimmage work that we did the other day and that kind of stuff. We're on the border of it in everything we're doing, so they're ready to unload, and it'll be fun to see them. Really, we'll dedicate the first game to the young guys. You know, it's their first time playing in the NFL and all that. And they'll be playing a lot in the game, so it'll be fun to watch those guys. But mostly, just running, hitting, getting back to ball. And you know, every year I'm always, as a coach, I'm always worried to death that, you know, we ain't going to hit a soul. We won't hit the water if we fell out of a boat. You know, that kind of thinking. You know, but they always do. You know, they'll fly down on the opening kickoff and they'll be going. And I hope we get the kickoff. You know, and we'll try to finagle that one. And away we go.
Awesome, Coach. Thank you. We're looking forward to the Pete Carroll Show again this year.
You got it.
After every game, we'll be chatting with you at 9:30. Thank you very much.
Well, what are we doing? We're doing like salami and stuff like that.
Sponsored by quinoa.
You want us to bring salami? We can bring salami if you need. Whatever.
Whatever.
We could have a nice crudité,
pizzas or something.
Yeah,
like
sure.
That.
Perfect.
We'll be ready to go.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it. Have fun at practice. We'll be right back. We need some questions for Answer the Question Jerk. 710-710. Powered by Coors Light. It's next. I'm Brock and Saul.
is Brock and Sauce. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's answer your questions. Brock and Salk here, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710-710. What'd you think of Pete?
Okay. Is that the first question?
Yeah. It's my first question.
I thought that's as good a spot as we've had him. He wasn't in that spot at all last year.
It's hard to hear him and not get more excited. Imagine, like, even if you're like, okay, 6-10, 8-8, somewhere in that range, then you hear him and you're like, all right, maybe 8-8, 10-6. You just can't help it. He's just full of positivity.
Oh, and that's good. KJ's out practicing, shoulder pads, helmet on. That's positive. So maybe Shaquem isn't going to start, as coach just said. Yeah, I'm just judging that on just looking at him and sitting next to him. There wasn't agitation. He's not ducking anything. I think that there's just no drama. You're just dramaless, you know?
Ducking Regenica.
Teenagers have moved out. They got married. They moved on. You know, there's no drama in the house. There's just a bunch of youngsters that love playing this game, and I think that's rejuvenated him. His own Regenikine.
All right, let's see what you guys have. Jerks, what did the Groz do? We forgot to tell the story.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you can follow him on Twitter or on Facebook and see this for yourself, but the Groz had some surgery, so he's missing some time. He's on the DL. But he, for whatever reason, decided to break HIPAA laws and send out some pictures of his bruising
body.
Let's call it his hip.
So he is on his thigh. They sliced it open and took a big piece out of it.
Yeah, and there's some bruising along the side of his leg and
imagine ESPN
area.
The Body magazine. That's what it is.
No, it's not. But
yes, it is. There's a shot of his entire body that it's shielded just enough to protect stuff that you don't see.
It was a tasteful dude.
Everything else is there.
It was not tasteful.
Yeah, the buttocks is there, the backside's there, the legs are there, the bruising's there.
Look, it's clean.
Throw a couple Instagram filters on that.
Yep.
Is that why they're so purple? Why did Bonnie let him take those?
I don't know.
Why would you post that on anywhere? Gross.
I was happy to know, like, the full extent of what's going on with the Groz.
Yeah, thank God.
How good a laugh did you guys get?
Next
question.
Jerks, which athlete is most likely to be next to skip a Hall of Fame induction ceremony?
Oh.
Like T.O. did.
Oh.
It's got to be Marshawn, right?
Yeah.
Easy answer.
But he kind of like, Marshawn's sneaky, though. He kind of likes the fraternity of it. Like, Peyton Manning was out Peyton was out at the Raiders. Yeah, he won't be told, like, what to do at the ceremony.
Right.
But he wants to be around players. Peyton was out at Oakland practice. Gruden had him out working with Carr. And, you know, guess who Mosey's over there? Marshawn Mosey's over there to just talk ball and to talk football and everything else. So I think unlike T.O., Marshawn likes the fraternity of some of the players, certainly the greats. But he's not going to be told by Canton, Ohio, what to do.
Jerks, how do you feel
about ketchup
on eggs? I've always been a ketchup on scrambled eggs or omelet guy. Not on fried eggs or whatever, but recently, Brock, I've made a new discovery, and I've never been a big hot sauce guy.
Yeah.
So if you're like me, but you don't like things that spicy, have you used Crystal hot sauce?
Yeah. It's out of Louisiana.
It's a Louisiana hot sauce.
Good.
It's not that spicy.
No.
It's more vinegary than spicy.
Yes.
And I've been putting that on my eggs, and it's ridiculously
good. That's a solid call. That's a real solid
call. It's not spicy.
No.
Like, it doesn't burn your tongue or anything. It's just vinegary and, like,
and it's good in a bunch of spots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, taller, Puna Ford or Blitz?
Blitz.
It was really close when they walked
Blitz.
By each other.
Going Blitz. Yeah. It's tall bird.
Next question.
All right, a couple of blackjack and Vegas questions. I'm going to Vegas on Thursday. Salk, when in Vegas, do you ever go to downtown? We went last year on Joel's recommendation. He's one of our buddies. Joel's not allowed to choose restaurants anymore because of what he chose.
What is downtown?
Like downtown into downtown.
Oh, that's
Vegas.
Not the
Old
name
town?
Of a restaurant. Oh, okay. I thought that was a restaurant.
No, like, it's called Downtown Vegas.
Oh, well, okay. Where did you eat? What happened?
We went to the Hotel D to this steakhouse there. It was awful.
Mm.
It was terrible.
Mm.
Absolutely awful. We're not going downtown ever again. I'll never do it. It's out. And Joel's not allowed to pick restaurants.
Next question.
By the way, I'm really worried about something.
What?
We talked about Clayton. Well, he did, about how his vision's gotten better. So maybe he's like Benjamin Button.
Right.
I'm worried about Disley. Disley could look like he's 45.
Yeah.
Like a couple
maybe
seasons.
Maybe he's going to start looking younger. A
couple
you don't
seasons
know.
Into this league. I think it could be hard on him.
Maybe that's just why he's so mature, though.
Might be.
Brock, now that Salk has conquered camping, what's the next step in your life that you want to reach out and try?
Oh, interesting.
I'm now a member of the camping community.
That's a good question.
What about you?
Scuba diving?
You want to try that?
I think I could do scuba diving. We did the snorkeling there on our Hawaiian cruise.
Doesn't bug you out?
No. I'm kind of curious what's down there.
Nope.
Lingcod, octopi.
Nope.
No? Sharks?
It's hard, by the way. I think scuba diving. Heather did a little. I tried it in college. That was real
hard. More about my ears. I got real sensitive ears. I was one of those kids with the tubes and all that stuff.
Worry about freaking out down there.
Joey Hunt's still going. Could you do
the bends is the freakiest part to me. Like, if you come up too quickly, you will get the bends, and that's awful.
That's not good.
Kyle, could you do that?
No way. Way too claustrophobic.
That's what I thought.
You got to get out of there.
Thank you.
I wouldn't even consider
yesterday,
that.
We were all like, no, nobody's jumping out of the plane. Now we're just like,
darn
no,
right. I'm
do
not
anything.
Going up.
Won't
I'm not
any.
Going down. No thanks.
Oh, I didn't realize Shoddy wears cleats out here. Did you notice that?
Well, there's Pete's running out.
Shoddy wearing cleats. Pete wearing monarchs.
Jerks. At its best, which do you prefer? A great donut, a great brownie, or a great cookie? I gotta say a cookie. The very best cookie probably wins that one.
Oh, I just saw something Brock's told us about. A cookie delivery service coming to Pullman. Not Seattle, but coming to Pullman.
Wow.
So we're gonna check that out. They deliver till 4 a.m.
I'll double down on that. I'll give you a cookie. Brownies can only do so much.
I like a good brownie. My mom's made brownies my whole life. My mom's brownie's better than her cookies.
Yeah, I'll go cookie.
Good cookie is hard to beat. All right, we got to go. Curtis Rogers is coming up here. Curtis, the interview that the world has been awaiting. If you haven't heard the story of what's gone on in Denver between Marquette King and the Denver radio station that's our sister station, they're at war with each other. After Curtis Rogers is done with his interview with Mike Davis, who basically called him out on Twitter, we may be at war here. I hope this goes okay.
Wow.
I'm nervous. What time is that, Aaron? 11 o'clock. All right, Curtis comes your way in 5 minutes. An hour from that,
get your name
Mike
out my
Davis
mouth.
And Curtis Rogers come to blows here at the 710 ESPN Seattle Town. It's going to be a blast. Stay tuned for a kid from Kent. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Till then, the Hague.
Barn.
Hey, everybody.
Well, you're kind of easily creeped.
That's for sure. There's no doubt. You know, I'm like the Mariners. I had nothing in the farm system.
Get to the chopper!